Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, when do you most follow Jesus? Now, is it here on a Sunday as you sit under faithful preaching and sing your heart out? Is it at home as you open up your Bible and hunger and thirst for more of God? Is it at school, at work, as you tell people about Jesus? Is it amongst the homeless, as you try and nurture them back to health? Now, the answer is all the above. You see, with my question, there's one word that actually presents a problem for us. Most. The right question is, when do you follow Jesus? And the answer for the Christian is simple. All the time. Think about it. Kids, is there anywhere we could go where Jesus is not king? No. There, I heard a no. Someone yelled out there, well done, whoever that was. If Riley was a spaceman, blasted off to Mars, flew a super spaceship to the faraway of stars, God would be there. God would be there. God is everywhere. All right. Colin Buchanan, shout out to him. As Abraham Kuyper said decades ago, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. Jesus is not one of many balls that we juggle. Jesus is at the center from which we juggle all of life's balls. Christianity is all or nothing. Jesus is either at the center of our life or he is not in our life at all. As we heard last week, if we want to find our life, we must lose our life. We either find our identity in Christ, or our identity is left totally insecure. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is Lord of Lords. Jesus is not a butler that we call on when we're in trouble. The true disciples count the cost and say, I am all in. Now, and in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, we're going to hear Jesus tell us he's going to call us to count the cost of true discipleship when it comes to our possessions, when it comes to our family, and when it comes to other distractions. And so there are our three headings: possessions, family, distractions. All right, got your Bible open? Luke chapter 9. First of all, we're going to look at possessions. Luke 9, 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Come on, Jesus. This guy wanted to follow you. There are millions of people who hate you, but this dude said he was in. Why was Jesus trying to scare him off? Well, Jesus wasn't trying to scare the man off. Jesus loved the man with clarity about the mission. Jesus is saying, it's good you want to follow me, but let's be clear what that might look like. I might call you to leave your home, go to another country where you will have no earthly security and preach my gospel. Are you sure you want to follow me? Jesus said the same thing to the rich young ruler, didn't he? The rich young ruler was faithful in keeping God's rules. The rich young ruler kept God's commands. The rich young ruler was generous with his money. But Jesus told him that he was lacking one thing. Jesus said, go sell all your possessions and give the money away to the poor. That man walked away from Jesus full of sorrow. When it comes to following Jesus with your possessions, do you count the cost? Are you all or nothing? Are you in? Next, Jesus tells us to count the cost with family. Read from verse 59. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, that's a bit difficult to understand, isn't it? What does Jesus mean by let the dead bury their dead? A dead person cannot bury another dead person. I don't think the person's father was actually dead. If he was, why was he following Jesus rather than sorting out funeral arrangements? Here's the thing. It was common practice back in Jesus' day for adult children to take care of their parents. It's sort of like a first century pension plan. With that in mind, here's how the conversation might have gone in the first century. Jesus finds someone and Jesus says, follow me. And the person says, Jesus, first, let me make sure my parents are financially secure. To which Jesus would say, stop making excuses. Follow me. I come before family. Jesus is not setting hard and fast rules about attending funerals. Jesus is setting hard and fast rules about family and priorities. Jesus clarifies these priorities just in a couple of chapters over. Luke 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Wow. Now, in our culture, I cannot think of a scenario where going to a funeral would be putting family above Jesus. But here's a couple of scenarios where I think Jesus is a bit in our face. Extended family visit on the weekend, and Christians choose to opt out of being with their church family for extended family. A child makes a sporting team that clashes with youth group and or Sunday church. Birthday parties that clash with youth and or church. How do you respond to an extended family member when they say, you love your God more than you love us because you never come and have Christmas lunch with us. You always stay with your church family for Christmas. Why do you keep asking to do things on Boxing Day? Now, am I suggesting Jesus forbids missing a Sunday gathering with your church family? No. But I do believe Jesus is in our face about prioritizing him over family. For those of you fearing that this sounds a lot like legalism, I share your fear, so that's why I'm just going to spend an extra minute or two on it. I spent a decade of my Christian life thinking I was full on for Jesus because I went to church twice a week, I led a Bible study, I led a youth group. I read my Bible, I prayed every day while having another full-time job, and I look back on those years and I realize I was more concerned about meeting the expectations of people in the church than I was about my relationship with God. I get that. Some of the most damning words we hear from Jesus are found in Matthew chapter 15. This people worships me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. With that said, do you have clarity on your Christian priorities? Or do you simply let life happen to you? I'll use one statistic because it comes from us. This is our family. It's easy to calculate. When we divide our church role, those who are part of our church family, by Sunday attendance, we get an average of 68%. That means one third of us is missing every single Sunday. And it's not the same people, otherwise they wouldn't be part of the family, would they? Here's my question. If you are represented by the average, do you know why you miss 17 Sundays a year with your church family? The local church is the bride of Christ. Your commitment to us says something about your commitment to Jesus. It's a bit unfair, isn't it, when I'm preaching to those who are here? But when do I get to preach it? When a third of us are missing every Sunday? And this is just one area of discipleship. It's the easy one to measure. But you should apply the same principle to your personal devotions, your evangelism, your finances, your ministry, your reason for living in Port Macquarie rather than being a missionary in Afghanistan. Now, why is it important to prioritize? Because Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is infinitely more important than family and friends. When it comes to family and friends, do you count the cost? Are you all or nothing? Are you in? Next, Jesus tells us to count the cost with respect to distractions. Have a look at verse 61. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is perhaps the harshest of the three, yeah? Not even a goodbye? What harm could there be in going and saying goodbye? Well, I can think of lots. You might get distracted and forget the radical commitment you made to follow Jesus. You see, ploughing in Jesus' day required the farmer to be fully focused on what lay ahead. The oxen pulling the plough, they wouldn't step around a big boulder that would ruin the plough. And if your plough was ruined, your livelihood was ruined. Jesus says, whoever puts his hand to the plough and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Are any of you Christian community only Christians? You know, when you're a Christian, when you're in Christian community, you behave like a Christian, but when you're not in Christian community, you behave like the world. You never share your faith. You operate more as a disciple of the world than a disciple of Jesus. Do you sense God prompting you to take on a ministry at church, but friends or family discourage you? Tell you, don't take your faith so seriously. Have you thought about full-time or part-time vocational ministry only to be distracted by family, friends, career? Have you felt compelled to take your faith more seriously? Grow deeper in your love and knowledge of God, only to be distracted by Netflix and social scrolling? Now, here's the dumbest distraction of all. I'll get more serious with my devotions, more serious with evangelism, more serious with my giving, more serious with the serve team I'm part of, more serious with church when ... you fill in the blank. When I finish school, when I finish uni, when I get established in my career, when I pay down the mortgage, when the kids get a bit older, when the kids leave home. Jesus is the all or nothing king. Now, Jesus is not an insurance policy. I pay my insurance policy and then I put it away for when I might need it. Some people treat Christianity like an insurance policy. They know that there's an afterlife. They heard that there might be a hell, and so they treat Jesus like an insurance policy. They know a little bit of something about Jesus, and so they hope that Jesus is going to be their hell insurance policy. So some people treat Jesus like an insurance policy. Some people turn to Jesus hoping that they will take care of their health, that Jesus will take care of their comfort, their finances. Tell me this, could Jesus instantly heal you of terminal cancer? Could he put $1 million in your bank account? He could, couldn't he? Does Jesus promise to do that? No, Jesus says, come follow me. I don't promise you anywhere to lay your head. Jesus is the all or nothing king. The Pony Express was a US mail service covering 3,000 kilometers from St. Joseph, Missouri, over to Sacramento, California. Using horses and skinny men, the Pony Express was able to cover that 3,000 kilometers in 10 days. And one of the extraordinary legends to come out of the 1860s is this ad that was used to find the men to take on this dangerous, potentially deadly job. Pony Express wanted young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert riders, willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred, wages $25 per week. Dozens more men applied for this than there were jobs available. Hundreds of men ready to take up the job where they might die. When we take a break from latte sipping, app games, web surfing, binge watching, social scrolling, it does not take long for us to be inspired by stories of heroism and valor. You are called to so much more than a secure superfund. You will not find the meaning of your life in a career, as important as work is. You will not find the meaning of your life in family, as important as relationships are. You'll only find the meaning of your life when you lose your life in order to find it in Christ. Have a look at Luke 9, verse 51. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Verse 51 is the big turning point in Luke's gospel. Jesus resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing full well what lay ahead of him. Jesus resolutely turned and headed to Jerusalem to be nailed to a cross for our sin. Jesus deliberately went to lose his life so that we could find our life. Jesus died so that we could live. And with his compass set toward Jerusalem, Jesus addressed three men. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Let the dead bury their dead. Don't set your hand to the plow and look back. And did you notice? We're not told how any of those men responded. The scene is left open as Jesus calls us to follow him. Jesus resolutely handed his life over for us. Will we hand our life to him? Not some of our life, all of our life. Not some of our days, all of our days. Jesus is the all or nothing King. Jesus is not one of many balls we juggle. Jesus is the very center from which we juggle all of life. In The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Jesus calls his disciples to costly grace. It's all or nothing. And it's the best life you will ever live. Amen. Father God, there could be nothing better than to be in your presence forever and ever and ever. We long for that day. Come, Lord Jesus. And while we wait, oh Father, would you help us step in more and more to just handing our life completely over to your Son? Would we gladly lose our life to find it in him? And again, we pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.